Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 11. You take notes, then you can entitle this message "The New Year and Every Year." But this year coming in, there are a lot of questions on what this year holds for us as individuals and for the church in our country. And I see it all over social media. People are questioning and wondering. This morning, what I would like to do is I'd like to convey to you that we can go from a what if of what the future will hold to knowing that God has something great in store for His children. Amen. By first of all, coming to this first point that we will find here at the beginning of Matthew chapter 11, and that is, remember, here in verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities." We see first of all from this, if we remember that Jesus was here for the lost in verse 1, it says that Jesus is commanding His disciples at the beginning of this verse. He's drawing their attention to teaching and preaching. He's drawing their attention that what His goal was here on this earth was to convey the gospel to the lost so that all would come to know Him, and then to ultimately die on the cross to take upon them all of their sins so that they may come to know Him later on, not only from the teaching that He taught them then, but from His disciples and from us today, teaching and preaching the Word of God. In chapter 10, He draws their attention to teaching and preaching and what to expect to come as they do. Here in chapter 10, previous to chapter 11, Jesus is conveying to the disciples what to expect when they begin to convey the gospel to the lost, that they will be, in fact, under persecution and ridicule for preaching the Word of God, just as we are here today for teaching and preaching the Word of God, and just as Christians have been from this point until today. And even the judges, later on in this verse, it talks about how they were ridiculed for teaching about the Word of God. But we, as believers, need to make sure that we remember what it is that Christ came to do, and that was to lead the lost to Him. So we as Christians need to do likewise. We need to remember constantly that that is our number one priority, is to lead the lost to Christ. And if we endeavor and we do this, then this uncertain future that we have will not be uncertain because of the influence we make in the lives of those in our community and what they, in turn, make in this state, what they, in turn, make in this country and this world. It takes one believer being dedicated to Christ and doing this one thing that He has asked us to do, this one command that He has asked us to do, that is to share the gospel. Secondly, we see a reminder that when people hear the Word of God, they question. This is found in verse 2. It says, "Now when John had heard in prison the works of God, he sent two of his disciples." See, when John heard, this is John the Baptist who baptized Jesus, and heard of all the miraculous things that Jesus had done, he wanted to know, he questioned, if in fact this was the promised Messiah. And when he questioned, just like when the lost see the example that we are, and when they hear, whether it be on the radio or a message or maybe something that we said to them about the Word of God, they question, they want to know if it is in fact the truth, if Christ is in fact who He says He is. And then it says, from leading from a question, here we see that John the Baptist wants to know if it really is Him, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. And we find in verse 3, we see that the questioning drew John to seek an answer, just like the questioning of the lost wanting to know Christ, it leads them to seek an answer. And we find this in verse 3. "And said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" So we see that John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to go and ask Jesus. The lost, when they hear the Word of God, God begins to work in them. And He begins to get them to seek and to want to know if it is the truth of the gospel. And if we are open to tell them of the truth of the Word of God, if our lives are evident of who God is, then they will in fact turn to us and ask us if it is truly Christ that can save me, that can redeem me from this life of sin. And then we finally see that it leads to an answer. Here in verse 4 and 5, Jesus gives an answer to John the Baptist's disciples. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Here, Christ gives them an answer. He says, you see, you know, you hear me. I am he who came to take away the sins of the world. And he shows them through miracles that he does that it is he who came to save us and to redeem us and to redeem his own children out of the bondages of sin. If we remember, first of all, that Jesus was here for the lost, and if we remember, secondly, that the power of the gospel leads people to question, and that leads them to come to know Christ, and we have a wonderful opportunity of being able to tell them about Christ, and that leading to the question of God working on them, and that leading them back to us, or maybe even somebody else. But we first of all did exactly what Christ had us do and asked us to do, and that was to go after the lost and tell them about the Lord. And then we also see, like I said, the power of the gospel, how it gets them to question, gets them to wonder, and once they come to know the Lord, then we will be able to minister to this community, to the state, and like I said, to this country and the world. And it just takes one church to minister to a community to change the outcome of, you know, what happens in the election of the community and what happens with the schools of the community and things of that nature. The involvement of the church is very key in that. So not only do we need to remember the things of the Lord, but we need to reevaluate. We need to reevaluate our own thinking. And we find this in verses 7 and 10. And it says, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went he out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went he out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Well, what went he out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way for thee." We find we need to reevaluate ourselves to find in our life we need to reevaluate our thinking. Here, the Israelites had a skewed thinking of John the Baptist and on what his purpose was. Christ had already told them in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah that there would come a man that would make way for the Lord. And then he also, after that, told the children of Israel the promise of the Messiah. But even though the Israelites knew this, they still had a skewed thinking of, you know, is this really him? And so it says we need to reinforce this in our hearts. God questioned the crowd because of the thoughts of doubt that they had. It's good to reevaluate your thinking as to block the seeds of doubt that the devil would bring in our own minds. Sometimes, you know, in our own thinking, when God seems to allow us to endure more things than we would like, we begin to doubt who God is. And it's really good sometimes to reevaluate our own thinking, because sometimes in the back of our mind we'll think, God's not there with me anymore. That will end up turning into actions of, you know, no longer reading the Word of God, no longer asking God for help, and basically sometimes for some Christians, forsaking God altogether. But if we constantly reevaluate in our minds where our thinking is, and if we reevaluate that Christ truly is who he says he is, then this thoughts of doubt will come in. We as believers have a tendency to doubt God when the pages of Scripture tell us the truth of God and the power of God. A lot of times people begin to doubt God because they haven't truly opened this book. They opened this book on Sunday morning, they set it on a shelf, they set it on the table, and they collect dust for the week. They never truly endeavor to read the Word of God and come to know the promises of God, and that God promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that he will be with us every step of the way. And if we have the Word of God in our minds, then it allows us to reevaluate our thinking properly, to be able to remember that God is there and that he cares for us. Not only do we need to reevaluate our thinking, we need to reevaluate the stance against those that would corrupt and doubt the teachings of the Lord. Here in verse 18 and 19 it says, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is made, is justified of her children." Here we see that we need to reevaluate our stance. If we read the Word of God and we come to know the principles of God, we can stand firmly on the solid rock of God And when those that seek to corrupt the word of God seek to add and take away those preachers that are in sheep's clothing and those who claim to be Christians and seem to skew what the word of God says, we can get an accurate account and we can stand firm on the word of God. If we reevaluate our stance and what we're standing on, not standing on our own abilities, not standing on our own knowledge and what we think we know is right and true, but standing on the knowledge of God, standing on the truth of the Word of God, then we can effectively come to these people that the devil has skewed their thinking and convey to them the truth of the gospel and bringing them to Christ, and to be able to stand against each and every one of those that seek to basically, fool the nation into thinking that God is something different. We will be able to actively and effectively tell them that they're wrong and the reason as to why they're wrong, and to be able to lead them to Christ. Because God can use anyone and everyone, even if they're the most outspoken person against God. If he were to come to Christ, 9 times out of 10, those people that, live an entire life of sin, when they come to Christ, they are, on fire for God. And how much God can use them if we simply would be able to know the scripture and to be able to give an account for the faith that is in us and a stance that is on the word of God, and to teach them and tell them the truth. So we see here that we need to reevaluate our thinking. And secondly, we need to reevaluate our stance. If we don't reevaluate our thinking and our stance, we will continue to lose this nation. And we in fact will know what this future holds for us. Nothing short of pain and suffering. Because we have not reinforced in our minds, in our thoughts, and in our stance, the Word of God. Secondly, we not only see that we need to remember, and that we need to reevaluate, but thirdly, we see that we need to reinforce. We need to reinforce in our hearts and minds what God thinks of those who do not heed His Word. We find this in verses 20 and 24. It says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities." The word upbraid means to scold. God began to scold the cities that he preached to because they would not heed his word. Just like the father corrects his child, so Jesus right now is correcting his own children, the children of Israel. He blatantly told them that he would come, and he did. And he shows them right then and there the miracles that would give testament to him being who he said he was, and they still would not believe. And it says after this, most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. We find in verse 21, "More unto thee, Chorazin, more unto thee, Bethesda, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done entirely in Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." He reminds the children of Israel of their failure to destroy all the people in the land of Canaan, which is where these two cities were located, and their failure to listen as he shows them that he is who he said he was. These two cities were located in the land of Canaan, and Christ told them blatantly that they needed to destroy the entire inhabitants of Canaan. And these two cities were left untouched, unconquered. And because of this, God is recalling to their memory that they had doubted him before, and they hadn't listened to him before. Just as they're not listening to him now with all the miracles that he's showing them, they didn't listen to him before. Might we take this and listen to what God tells us and to believe it and not doubt it? Like I said earlier, that God says, "I will be there with you every step of the way. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." That when later on, as we find that Christ tells us that to take his yoke upon us, that means that he's going to be there with us every step of the way. A yoke is put on two cattle. So Christ, when he says to take my yoke upon you, that means that he's there, and you're taking upon yourself that you're with him, so that as you go through this life, you will have him to help you through it. And a lot of Christians, when they get into the rough of life, and God says, "Let up on his side and let you take more weight on your side," "God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me?" That's because he's trying to help you grow. He wants you to grow in him. And so that's why he allows the yoke, the heaviness, and the burden to go on to you so that you can grow in him. And he takes it off after time, but that's at the time that you realize that he never left you, and that he's still there for you, and that he's trying to help you grow. So not only do we need to reinforce in our minds, in our hearts, that what God thinks of those that do not heed His word, we also need to reinforce in our hearts and minds that if we seek God, we will surely find Him. From Him, we will find help and strength. I do want to call back to what God thinks of those that do not heed His word. Many churches in America, many churches across the world, are not heeding the word of God and actively ministering to the lost and doing what it is that God has called us to do as individuals and us as a church. And because of that, we are in the state that we are in. And pastors have preached this for years. Teachers and preachers have taught this, and prophets have taught this to children of Israel. For years and years and years, we seem to do the same exact thing over and over again. We seem to forget the things of God. We seem to find ourselves in the same situation we find ourselves in today, with a what if of what the future may hold for us. Maybe the future may hold persecution and ridicule. Maybe the future might hold less freedoms than we have today. But that doesn't have to be the case. Just as prophets and teachers and preachers that have come before me have said, that does not have to be the case. We find that we reinforce in our hearts and minds, when we seek God, we surely will find Him. From Him, we will find help and strength. We will find the help and strength to do this, to be able to change the outcome of this year, and to be able to change the outcome of every year that comes after this. We find this in verses 25 through 30. And it says in verse 25, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." I want to stop you for a moment. It says here, we find we need to reinforce in our hearts and minds that God has shown us grace by giving to us that are but children in understanding the truth of the gospel. We find this in verse 25. It says, "And at the time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." God has given us so much grace by giving us so many chances after we have heard the word of God, to hear it again and hear it again, and finally come to know Him. He gives individual after individual, chance after chance, time after time, shows them His grace and being able to come to know Him by giving them another year on this earth, another day on this earth, to be able to hear the gospel once again, and to hopefully come to heed it. After verse 25, we find ourselves in verses 26 through 30. And it says this, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus says right here in His word, "Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In our times of trouble, and when we feel like we just can't do it anymore, God says, "Come unto me. I'll give you rest. I will be there. I will help you with whatever it is that you're dealing with. Just come to me." We as believers seem to walk away from praying. We had the opportunity to pray while we're driving in our car. We weren't able to pray that morning because we didn't allocate enough time before we left for work. We can talk to God in the car. We can talk to God in our breaks. We can come to Him and tell Him what it is that we're dealing with, what it is that we need His help with. But we seem to forget that when we get into these hard times. We're like, "God just forgot about me." No, He hasn't. He wants us to come to Him, to ask Him for help, to ask Him for guidance. It says also in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." This part of learning of me is reading the word of God and coming to understand who Christ truly is and what it is. And then when He says that He will do something, that in fact He will bring it about, that He has. He said back in Genesis, last service, I told you that Christ had promised to send His Son. We are right now reading that promise fulfilled of Christ having come. And then later we see that Christ did, in fact, die on the cross and take upon Him the sin of the world. And He rose again the third day, burying our sin and raising in life and bringing to us life. He crushed the head of the serpent. He broke the chains of death and sin. And then, like I said here, it says, "Take my yoke upon you." Christ says, "Take my yoke upon you." What a yoke is it's a wooden, it's a wood piece that comes on two calves and it's attached to the plow. But notice how it's two calves. Why do you think He mentioned that? take my yoke upon you. Like I said earlier, that means we're going to take upon us that piece of wood with him on the other side and us on the other side. That means that every step of the way through this life, he will be there to help us bear the burdens of life. He will be there to help us through whatever it is that comes our way in this life, whether it be decisions on what he would have us do, or whether it be what we go through, whether it be good times or bad times. He's going to be there, right next to us, walking with us every step of the way. That's what this means right here.
Yeah.
And then it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you come to know Christ, that burden of sin is lifted off of you. You no longer have the burden of sin on you. And like it says, for my yoke is easy. Why do you think it's easy? Because God is there with you to take the pain and the hardness off of you. And then, like I said, there are times, and I'm going to tell you this right now, that you are going to experience some things alone. That's because God wants to test you to see if you can truly trust in him. And then he wants to also help you grow in him. He wants you to come to a need of him where you go to Scripture and when you read of him and come to know more of him and of how gracious he truly is and how much he truly does love us. We need to reinforce in our hearts and our minds that when God says, take my yoke upon you, it means that he will be there every step of the way. If we do these three things, if we remember and we reevaluate and we reinforce, if we remember what it is that God has called us to do, what it was that he was here to do, which was to lead the lost to Christ, and we secondly remember what the power of the gospel has in leading the lost to Christ. And if we reevaluate our own thinking and our stance, we'll be able to give a better testament of the Lord. And if we reinforce in our hearts and our minds, we reinforce in our hearts and our minds what God thinks of those that do not heed his word. And secondly, we reinforce in our hearts and our minds that God is surely there with us, and if we call upon him, he will help us. If we do these things, then in fact, the future will not be what if. The future will be filled with all that God has in store for us, because we will be effectively doing what it is that God has called us to do. We will call for remembrance that God is there for us. We will reinforce these things in our own lives, and we will reevaluate our own stance time and time again, making sure that it is not that we are standing on our own, but that we are standing on the principles of God and understanding on the solid rock of God. Earlier I asked you a question, and this is the answer, that what if of the future can in fact be a certainty of all that God has in store for each and one of us and for the church in this world as a whole. This morning I pray that you would not leave here without reevaluating, remembering, and reinforcing the things of the Word of God. Don't let your Bible just sit on your table, on the bookshelf, and collecting dust. Open it up every morning. Opening it up every opportunity that you have. Read it. Come to know Christ and the things of the Lord. Every time you get a chance to talk to the Lord, he wants to hear you. That's why he died on the cross, so that you would be able to have a personal relationship with us once again. Because of sin, he was not able to do that. But once he paid sin in full, he was able to have that personal relationship with us. And like I said, he says he wants us to call upon him in time of need. Do it. Don't get so wrapped up in the hardness of whatever it is that you're going through. Call upon God and ask him to help you with it. And trust that he will. And trust that even when you can't hear him, see him, or feel him, when he says that he just wants you to take his yoke upon you, that he'll be there with you every step of the way, and he truly, in fact, still is, that he has not forsaken you, and he will not leave you. The state of the future is, in fact, made by our involvement as believers in the lives of those around us, in the church, in the community, and in the world.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Good and good. Let's stand, please. Sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. That's what the message is about. Are we going to follow Jesus in 2021? There's a lot of things going on in people's minds right now about doubt and what the future holds as far as the pandemic and all this kind of stuff, this is not any surprise to God. And we can follow exactly what Jesus says. And that's what he wants us to do, and that's to trust him. Let's stand and sing a verse of this. I have decided to follow Jesus.